to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Today I'm going to continue in the sermon series that we've been doing off and on actually for the last year and a half with other things sprinkled in. And it's the life of Jesus, the story of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. And the title of what I want to share with you today is The Failure of Success. The Failure of Success. Now I don't know how that title strikes you. You may say, wait a minute, those are two opposite things. If you're successful, how can you be a failure? And how can you be a failure if you're a success? And probably most of you have already figured that out. Maybe all of you have. And the idea behind give into that temptation to kind of segment our lives to where God's part of this, God's part of that. He's definitely part of Sunday morning because I'm in church or I'm watching online. Or God's part of this or that or the other. I want to be part of my marriage. I pray about it. But there's this other area where I kind of keep God out of it. In this case, this guy's keeping God out of everything. And then the fourth and last thing about him is he was ungrateful. You see no gratitude here toward God or anybody or anything else. And I'm sure he worked hard. I'm sure he planned. I'm sure he was diligent. This situation, he probably had all kinds of servants because he couldn't do all this by himself. He probably did all kinds of good things to carry out his business and get to this. But you have to understand that his wealth, this bumper crop, was not just, and I would say not even primarily, because of his diligence and because of his intelligence and because of his hard work. Because if you've ever grown something, you know that it's not just dependent on those things. It's dependent on a lot of other factors that are uncontrollable except by God. In fact, I think Jesus hints at this when he starts the parable in verse 16. It says, Jesus told the parable, he says, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. I think it's worded that way on purpose. He got a lot because of God's blessing on the land. It wasn't because he was so diligent. I mean, he could have said, this man was so diligent, he worked so hard, he was so smart that he got all these riches. No, he says the land produced, the land that God created, the land that God watered, the land that God made productive. And we see this man is not grateful. The main point of this parable is a life lived for self is foolish. We talk about the failure of success. If you are successful in living your life just for yourself and filling it full of whatever it is that you most want, whether that's a lot of money or a lot of things or a lot of relationships or five cruises a year. Sounds kind of fun. Anyway, you know, whatever it might be, a life lived just for yourself, what this man was all about, it's foolish. Other places, Jesus said something like this. We find it in Mark 8, 35 and 36. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Basically what it means is if you want to live your whole life just for yourself, you're saving your life, all of your energies, all of your efforts, all of your desires, all of these things are just for you. You're going to end up losing what's most important. But if instead you have a relationship with God, whoever loses, whoever spends, whoever invests his life in a relationship with God and doing what God has called him to do and pursuing that will gain his life and all of eternity. And Jesus kind of summed it up this way when he said in verse 15, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Possessions do not determine the quality of life. Now, I understand and I relate, and I'm a human being just like you. Having certain things makes life a lot easier. Having certain things makes life a lot more enjoyable. And God's not against having things. God's not against wealth. God's not against pursuing your calling and excelling. God's not against success. When we talk about the success of failure, God's not against your success. The question is, what are you trying to succeed in? In fact, there's a lot of teaching in Scripture that God wants you to do well at whatever your job is. In fact, he tells people, now that you become a Christian, you need to serve your employer as if you're serving God. And do as good of a job for your employer as you do if you're working for God, because basically you are. Okay? And I have more to say about that in a little bit, but the thing is when he talks about life, he's talking about not just the fact that you're alive or dead. He's talking about the quality of your life. He's talking about your essential life. He's talking about your happiness and well-being. You know, perhaps you've known people, or perhaps you were one of these people at some time, and maybe you are this person now. If so, I would say God is really trying to speak to you because he loves you and he's got better for you than you think. But you know someone, you've been that one who pursued things, who pursued money, who pursued relationships, who pursued that dream, and you got it, and you realized, that was nice, but I'm still not totally satisfied. I still don't feel fulfilled. I think that's why you see it in people like that, and it's a tendency in all of us that there's always that drive for more, that drive for more, that drive for bigger, that drive for better. I mean, we see it in very simple things, like the desire or the drive that we might have that we've got to have the latest iPhone or the latest Android. The one I've got's just fine, but they got a new one. And it does one little thing better than the old one, and I got to get it. I just mentioned that because new iPhones just came out, and that's a big thing for a lot of people. That's not me, by the way. I'm good. I keep my phone till it just about won't work anymore, and I save up and get a new one. But anyway, that being said, you know, it used to be when I was in college and graduate school, it's like the latest, greatest computer, you know. I got a computer. It's pretty good, but man, it's faster now. It's got more storage. It's got more memory. That's not as big a deal today, but it's true, you know, for other things, you know, that bigger, better car, that bigger, better house, that bigger, better vacation, that bigger, whatever it might be there. And that drive is there because so often, even those things may bring some kind of satisfaction, fulfillment, enjoyment, it isn't lasting. It isn't fully fulfilling. And because of that, we wrestle with covetousness or greed, as Jesus was talking about it. That means to always thirst for more, the excessive desire to have more. There's a Roman proverb from the time of Jesus that says, money is like seawater. The more a man drinks, the thirstier he becomes. You probably know this, but you don't drink seawater. You don't drink salt water because even though you may be tremendously thirsty, it's just going to make you thirstier because of the salt in it. And you know, we can be greedy for many things, not just money. So I've already illustrated, we can be greedy for possessions, for popularity, position, power, pleasure, comfort. And so what Jesus is basically saying, the application here is guard against greed. Guard against greed. In verse 15, again, take care and be on your guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So Jesus says, take care. Take care, be careful, pay attention, watch out, make note, because you need to do something. And I just say we need to make sure we change our focus. If our focus is wrong, we change our focus. We make sure our focus is in the right place. We change our focus. So let's take a look real quickly at a couple of things here that he was focused on and how that compares to what Jesus would say that we should be focused on, based on the truths of this parable and on the rest of God's word. First of all, focus on God and others before yourself. Focus on God and others before yourself. We've already pointed out this man was focused totally and completely only, it seems to be indicating, sir, on himself. And there's teachings all through Scripture that God loves us, he wants us to enjoy life, and the last Scripture I'm going to read is going to really point that out. But how we can keep it in balance. But yet he's put us here for a reason. It's to have a relationship with him that's not only for while we're here, but for all eternity. But also to have relationship with other people within the bounds of family, within the realm of community, within the realm of God's people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, in the New Testament, the church. And that he puts us in there because none of us really can make it and to live the way we should and all that kind of thing and to please God and to experience all the joy and the blessings God wants us to do. We can't do that on our own. We need each other. We need each other to obtain those things, to receive those things. But we also need it to help us all stay on the right track. And so this parable teaches us to focus on God and others before yourself. Again, several scriptures, but my favorite is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, where Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." In other words, put other people before yourself. Don't ignore yourself, but put other people before yourself. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests." So that tells us it's okay to look at your own interests. It's okay to meet your needs. It's okay even to have things that you'd like to have. But don't let that be the most important thing. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to talk about how Jesus lived that out. Jesus, God himself in heaven, put all that aside and came to earth and became a man, knowing the horrific death that he would die. But he didn't think of himself. We can't really put our own thoughts and feelings specifically on Jesus because he's God. But if it was us as a human being, it's like, I don't want to do that for some people that don't like me. I don't want to do that for some people that are rebellious against me, and some of them won't even care. I don't want to go through that. But Jesus said, no, I love them so much. And let me just pause right now to say, God loves you that much. I'm a firm believer that if I was the only sinner that needed a Savior, Jesus would have come and died for me. And I believe that's true for you too. And let me just pause right there to just give you the basics. I give it to you pretty much every week because we need to hear it. We need to know it. You need to be able to share it with other people. That we are all sinners separated from God. We're born with that tendency. But even though we can't really blame our birth because we carry it out, we're involved in sin. And our sin separates us from God. And because we are sinners, the wages of sin is death. But that same verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God loved us so much that we had this sin problem that no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't do anything about it. So Jesus said, "I'm going to go down and take care of it. I'm going to pay the price for their sin because they can't do it." So he came and died. And so when we realize, and it's important to us that we realize, I'm a sinner, and because I can't have the type of relationship with God that God really wanted, that close relationship and all the things that come as a part of that, the blessings and eternal life and all that, I recognize that. And so I just ask God to forgive me. And I realize that the only way he can is because Jesus took care of it. And so I'm going to put my trust in him. And I just encourage and challenge you, if you've not done that, that you do that today. That you surrender your life, that you repent of your sins, that you put your faith in him, that you begin to live for him. But anyway, focus on God and others before yourself. And you know, even people outside of a relationship with God, there's so many examples of people who perhaps started out to build a big empire or a big whatever and got rich, and for whatever reason, if it wasn't motivated by God or goodness, it probably was motivated by goodness, to say, you know what, I've been given a lot of stuff by whoever, whatever, I've earned it all, I don't know, but I need to do something with this to help other people. And so they do. You've seen a lot of rich people throughout history that have established foundations to do good in society, to meet people's needs, to help with things. And that's wonderful. It doesn't make them right with God. You need Jesus for that. And you find that people who do that, for the most part, find much more satisfaction in life. And one of the reasons they do it is because they realize that just keeping it all for themselves, just focusing totally on themselves, does not bring that satisfaction and that fulfillment. But I tell you what, doing it because you're a servant of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and a servant of God brings even more satisfaction because you know that what you do has not just temporary significance, but it has eternal significance. There's more satisfaction in living for and focusing on others than just for or on yourself. The second thing about focus is focus on the eternal and the temporary. Focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. Jesus in verse 21 talks about we should seek to be rich toward God. And that phrase just stands out to me. I almost titled the sermon that, Rich Toward God. I chose the other one instead. But what does that mean, to be rich toward God? Well, what that means is that what you invest yourself in and what you have reaped from that, what you have gained from that, is something that God thinks is important. In other words, you're rich in God's eyes. Well, what does it mean to be rich in God's eyes? It means you value what God values and you use what He gives to you, what He provides to you to do what He wants you to do. And I want to tell you something. Eternal treasure is better than temporary treasure. It lasts a whole lot longer by definition. Temporary is temporary. Eternal is eternal. And if your temporary is 90 years or 100 years, if you live a long time, that's a long time. But that's nothing compared to 10,000 years, at which point we'll just be getting started. And there is no end. And the Bible is very clear that what we do in this life, how we invest ourselves and what we have, impacts not just this life, but it impacts eternity. And we need to focus on that. Now, we don't need to, as some say, be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. I'll be honest with you, I think that's a misstatement. If we were truly heavenly minded in the sense of I'm looking for eternity and what God has in mind, we'd be more earthly good because we'd realize how important that is. Okay? Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So many people in this world, like this rich man, live for today. We see this rich man, he's living for today. Well, today and tomorrow. I mean, he's bringing this in. He says, you know, I've got plenty, but now I've got more. Let me tear it and put it in because that way I can really enjoy it. I can eat, drink, and be merry, you know. And God says, but you don't know. It's your time. I don't think that this statement from God is like, because you've got that attitude, I'm going to zap you and I'm going to take you before your time. I think he's basically just saying, your time's up. You don't realize you're doing all this stuff for the future. And again, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. Nothing wrong with being successful. But that's your total focus, not realizing you won't even enjoy it. And then who's going to get it? You know? And think about it in this story. Who's going to get it? No mention of any family or anybody else he cares about. It's like, he doesn't have benefit of it. Solomon talked about that in Ecclesiastes. You know, he got very disillusioned at the end of his life because he'd walked away from God and realized that the stuff in this life doesn't really satisfy and fulfill. He says, you know what? I've done all this stuff and got all this riches and got all this fame and all this power and stuff, but really what good does it do? Because when I die, who's going to get it? Kind of a pessimistic view of life, but that's kind of the way Ecclesiastes is. Although it ends says, so I found that my fulfillment is, and our fulfillment should be in pursuing God and the relationship with Him. So if you ever read Ecclesiastes and get depressed, read all the way to the end, okay? Okay. All right. You know, we all have to wrestle to keep a balance between living life, providing for our needs and the needs of our families, and enjoying life. God doesn't mind us enjoying life. Doing well in our occupation and the calling God has given us. Balancing all that with what we do to send our treasures on ahead. In other words, what we do for the kingdom of God. So I've got this statement. So many people live just for today. Others are wiser, and they plan for the future. They plan for retirement. But the wisest people plan for eternity. I think it's so sad when I hear of people, talk with people, that basically they just live for day to day to day, paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And I do know sometimes we can go through seasons of life and circumstances. I'm not downing anybody. You get to a point where it's like, I just have to have that paycheck to pay my current bills and try to catch up and all that kind of stuff. But God never intends for us to live that way all our lives. And I personally believe God will help us to get out of that cycle and get ahead and start planning ahead. But it's sad when you, but some people just do it by choice. It's like, I got my paycheck, let's go out Friday night. And by Saturday morning, it's like, I don't have any money left. You know, or let's pop on the internet and check out Amazon or, you know, whatever it is. And they just live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, and it causes such stress and all that kind of stuff. But wiser people plan ahead. They plan ahead for bills that are coming down the road, you know. When the rent money comes due, they can actually pay it, you know, or whatever it might be. And again, please understand, I am not at all trying to look down on or put down on people that have fallen into hard times. In fact, we have a ministry at the church called Benevolence, where we try to help people that have fallen on hard times with little things. We don't have money for big things, but we do what we can to help. And we understand those kind of situations come. But again, I don't believe that's the way God wants people to live long term for the rest of their lives. And so when we're wise, if we're wise, we are good stewards of what God has given us. And so we plan ahead. And many of you are retired. And chances are that you are sitting there thinking, I'm so glad I planned for my life. Or you're sitting there saying, I wish I would have planned better for my retirement. I'm not asking for hands. I'm not asking for testimonies. Okay? But you know what? What's even wiser than that is to plan for eternity. To say, how does what I do right now, and I'm not just talking about investing money, but my energy, my effort, my time, my talents, how does it affect today? How does it affect the rest of my life and what the end of my life is going to look like? But how is it going to affect my eternity? Because the Bible says that, you know, we can't earn our way into heaven. We only get to heaven because we trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to pay the price for our sins. But the Bible is also very clear in its teachings that our experience of eternity will be different to some degree from other people's experience based on what we did for the Lord here. Greater reward, greater responsibility in a good way. Treasures, is the way Jesus put it, treasures in heaven. So again, we have to wrestle to keep that balance between providing for our needs here on earth and enjoying it to a degree, but yet also investing in eternity and sending those treasures on ahead. So the third thing here, focus on God's purpose rather than possessions, power, and pleasure. And this is how we do that. We focus on God's purpose. What are God's purposes for our lives? This rich man's just focused on what he's got and what he wants and what joy and pleasure that can bring him in the future. Jesus says, be rich toward God. What's important to God? To be successful means to accomplish what is attempted. And there's many ways people define success in the world, but usually it involves more. More money, more possessions, more conquests. I have said it, but I want to clarify it. Is God against success? No. But he would say, be successful at what I called you to do. Now, that in no way is trying to say God wants every single one of us to drop everything we're doing, the education we're pursuing, the occupation we're already doing, or come out of retirement so we can all be preachers of the gospel on street corners or in churches or full-time evangelists. Now, we all need to share the gospel with the people we know. That's not what I'm trying to say. But, you know, somehow he wants us to, you know, every Christian has just got to be a full-time whatever in ministry. Because you know what? God uses godly teachers, and we got some great godly teachers in this. In fact, I would say sometimes God uses godly teachers. Well, I'm not going to make comparisons. I'm just saying he really uses them, okay? God uses godly doctors. God uses godly lawyers. God uses godly janitors. I don't want to portray the idea that you have to be in some kind of occupation, you're making a lot of money for God to use you. God can use you wherever you are. And if you are faithful to God in what you're doing and you do it for him and not for yourself, you'll be just as much rewarded as anybody else who does the same thing, no matter what their occupation is. You know, I think, I'm not going to mention any names, but we have a couple of young men in our church who, to my best understanding and knowledge, were pursuing different paths. And recently God called them to go to Bible college because God may have a role for them in ministry down the road. It's not what he calls everybody to do. But both of these young men said, okay, God, and they just dropped the plan that they had and said, I'm pursuing it. And they're in the middle of pursuing it right now. I think God calls all of us to that. Not to drop what we're doing right now to pursue Bible college, but to look at our own lives and say, God, am I doing what you want me to do with my life, with my money, with my possessions, with my strength, with my intelligence, or am I just pursuing what I want? And I'll just add this to you. I already mentioned that God can use godly lawyers, godly doctors, godly janitors, that you look, whatever your job is, you may have the attitude because it just feels like this, just my job to get a paycheck. I understand that. But I want to tell you something. You're there, and I believe you're God's representative where you are. And I'm not saying you shouldn't look for something better. Many times that's what you need to do is look for something better. You hold a job until you can get something better. But even while you're there, God wants to use you there. Be open to that. Be looking for that. So God's not against success, but his definition, his focus is a little bit different. This man's problem wasn't that he was smart, or that he planned, that he worked, or that he had wealth, but he thought that that's all there was to life, and he didn't care about God and what God might want him to do. And he thought it would bring him satisfaction apart from God. I've got this quote from the, I almost said Latin America, Life Application Commentary, because it says LAC. Success is cooperating with God and establishing the kingdom of God in our hearts, all of our affairs, our personal relationships, and our society. Whatever else we do in life, however much we accumulate or acquire, unless we discover a personal relationship with all of life and test everything according to his purpose, we will not be successful. You know, seeking success outside of God's plan for us brings false success, false satisfaction, and false security that will not ultimately last. And for people, for many people, it just brings emptiness and dissatisfaction. The last focus, it really is kind of a summary of all this. Number four, focus on abundant life rather than abundant possessions. The world says they're the same thing. If you got a lot of stuff, you got a great life. There's that old saying that never made sense to me, but people live by it. You know, the one who dies with the most toys wins. It's like, how's that true? You're dead. You can't enjoy them, you know? It's like, well, I did something great with my life, but it's over. Focus on abundant life rather than abundant positions, and be wise to realize that they don't equal the same thing. Abundant life is not something you get only if you have abundant possessions or abundant money or abundant this or abundant that. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10 that they can kill and destroy, and I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know, I think pretty much everybody is seeking satisfaction. But I would propose to you that no one can find true, lasting, fulfilling satisfaction apart from Jesus Christ. Maybe for a while. I mean, you know, it'll be good for a while. Just like it says, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Lynn preached about that back a couple weeks ago. But seek abundant life for yourself, and not just for yourself, but part of that abundant life that you will experience for yourself is because you seek it for other people. And you're involved in their lives. And you're involved in the work of God. Now, as we get ready to wrap this up, do we have to be, quote, rich to have these problems or these issues? No. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are, what your level of income, what your level of money in the bank or savings or whatever is, what you do for a living. We all struggle with these issues. I think we've illustrated. The amount of money is not the issue. The issue is our attitude toward it and what we do with it. And so we go back to what Jesus said in verse 15 as we are working on wrapping this up. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In other words, pay attention. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it because maybe you wouldn't call it greed or covetousness in you, but it's just because of this desire for more, bigger, better because you think it's going to make you happy? Or do you pursue what God has for you? Because you know what? Pursuing the one is not going to bring what you think it's going to bring. I like what, I don't know who wrote it, Solomon gathered all the Proverbs together. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, this one guy said, this is pretty wise, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much, and I'll disown you and say, who's the Lord? Like this rich man. Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Or is this man in his wisdom, God, give me what I need. If I've got too much, I may walk away from you. If I don't have enough, I might be tempted to sin to get what I need. So Lord, I'm looking to you to provide what I need. And that's true not just for money and food and all, but every area of your life. So some questions we can ask ourselves. Do we find ourselves focused on the wrong things? And again, this isn't like, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. It's kind of a continuum. We all wrestle with these things. We're all somewhere on this continuum of where our focus is. Are we focused more on ourselves or on God and others? Are we focused more on the temporary or the eternal? Are we focused more on possessions, power, and pleasure or God's purpose? Are we focused on abundant possessions or abundant life? I want to share one last scripture with you. I told you I was going to bring out one more scripture that kind of balances this all out. It was something that Paul wrote to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19, he's giving advice to Timothy as a young pastor and how to guide his people. And he had some rich people, rich for that day, in his congregation. He says, "As for the rich in this present age," and again, I'd say this applies to all of us, "charge them not to be haughty," or don't get all proud, like, "I got more than other people and I'm doing pretty good." "Charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches." He says, riches are uncertain. Again, because it's rich, man, you may be gone and you don't benefit from it, or they can disappear quick. A turn in the economy, a turn in health, whatever it might be. He says, "Do not," or charge them not to be haughty, "not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." That's my favorite part. It's basically, God blesses you so you can enjoy life. Now, some people take that way to the extreme because they stop there. God wants us to enjoy life. God does bless us to enjoy life, but it's not just for that. "On God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." I can't help but wonder if maybe this parable Jesus told was in Paul's mind when he wrote this to Timothy, because it all fits so well. He says, tell people who've got stuff in this world to not just live just for that stuff. God's blessed them. He wants them to enjoy it. He wants them to have a good life. But it's not just so they can selfishly pour it out on themselves. He wants them to use it to touch other people's lives. Can I tell you that applies to every single one of us? Wherever you're at, wherever you're at in your life, wherever you're at in your income level, whatever it is, God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to enjoy your life to the degree you can until we go to heaven. And God wants to reward you and bless you in eternity, not just in this life, as you spend it serving Him. And so we all need to look at our lives. God, what am I doing with what you've given me? When I go to school, when I go to work, am I doing it just for my goals or for your goals? Am I looking for opportunity to be used by you? Do I invest my resources, my money, my talents, my intelligence just in pursuing my goals or helping your kingdom grow? Am I involved? Am I involved in my church? Am I involved in your work out there in the world? How am I investing myself? I encourage you to examine your heart. So today, as we wrap this up, here's possible ways you can respond. Number one, if you don't know Jesus, surrender your life to Him. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in Him. Begin to live for Him. Experience that joy and peace and fulfillment that you can't get any other way. Begin to do what He's called you to do right there where you already are, unless He tells you to change courses and do something else. And experience all the things He has for you. For the rest of us, let's make sure that we're pursuing meaningful life, that we're pursuing success in those things that are important to us, that we're growing spiritually. The Bible indicates and real life shows that pursuing stuff, pursuing money, pursuing possessions is one of the biggest obstacles to growing closer to God in this world, even for a committed Christian. Let's say, let's build God's kingdom. Let's give ourselves to invest in other people's lives and to see them changed. And let's work on building treasure in heaven. I'm going to invite you all to stand, and I'm going to invite our prayer team, our elders, to come to the front. This is one of those kind of messages that you need to really chew on and meditate over and be honest with yourself and be willing to say, God, show me how this applies to my life. And then once He reveals that, or once you understand that, you may already be at that place to come to God and say, okay, God, this is what I believe you want me to do, and I want to commit myself to do that. And that's all part of prayer and meditation and focus on that. But the real rubber hits the road when you go out those doors and you begin to carry it out. Or when you decide, I'm going to look at my finances and I need to rearrange how I'm doing things because I need to be doing more for God's kingdom. Or you say, you know what, I need to do more specifically for God's kingdom in our local church or in a ministry in the community or something else, because I've just been spending all my time working and enjoying myself. Whatever it might be, but you got to live it out as you go out there. But as we always do, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open this time for you to seek God. Our worship team is going to lead us, and I challenge you to spend some time talking to God, making any decisions or commitments you need to make to follow up on what He speaks to you about. But if you would like prayer for yourself or for someone else, we'll be here to pray for you. If you want to commit your life to Christ, we'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you about that. But spend time with God before you leave today. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that addresses every area of life. And Lord, this particular message addresses every area of life because it addresses how do I spend my time and why? How do I spend my money and why? How do I use my intelligence and my gifts and my abilities and why? God, I pray for those who may be here or watching online or listening later and they don't know you, Lord. They may be a great person. They may be already doing a lot of stuff for other people. They're not selfish. They're not self-focused. But Lord, because they probably wouldn't be watching if they were. But if they are, Lord, get a hold of their heart. But Lord, I pray that today as they realize they need a Savior, that they would turn to you. I pray you'd help all of us, Lord God, to examine our hearts and to look at how we spend our money and our time and all that kind of stuff and say, God, I want to do it the way you want me to. And Lord, to rejoice that you love us and you want to bless us and you want us to have an abundant life, a satisfactory life. You want us to enjoy things in this world. But help us also to realize and truly believe that the best way to do that is to live for you and do what we can for you and for your kingdom. And God, most importantly, I thank you so much that Jesus came and died for our sins, that we can be forgiven, we can have a relationship with you, we can live for you and know, Lord God, that it's not just going to impact this life, but that for all eternity, we have a relationship with you. And one day we will go into your presence and into a new heaven and a new earth and a new realm, Lord God, where there will be no more sickness, sorrow, pain, and death. And we will be rewarded, Lord God, for what we've done for you here. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.